Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, after telling us about the certainty of apostasy affecting the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we have to be on guard for it in all the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and gives us a couple of examples of apostasy as it existed in his day. And we'll be looking at those, the examples in verse 3, and then the extended explanation regarding one of those examples in verses 4 and 5. So thank you for joining us on this Friday, February 19, for the Beacon Broadcast, and let's get right back into God's Word. Paul says, verse 1 of chapter 4, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith," that's apostasy, "giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron," and now he gives two examples. Verse 3, "forbidding to marry," example number 1, "and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth," example number 2. He goes on to say, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Okay, two examples of apostate teachings. Two examples of the kinds of things that apostates might embrace. And the first one in verse 3 is forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. Now that's not a big apostasy issue in our day, at least in America where I live. It might be in other parts of the world. But there are certain aspects of Christianity in America that embrace this very apostasy, as we shall point out in a moment, and there certainly have been examples of this false teaching down through history. People who have taught that godly people do not marry. Godly people remain single, remain celibate. It's not God's will for us to marry, or more often, something like this. Well, if you really are a low-class Christian and really have no self-control, of course, go ahead and get married, because you can't control yourself. You have to have some kind of outlet for your sexual impulses, so go ahead and get married. But if you want to really be spiritual now, you won't get married. You will be single. And there have been some who have even had whole communities of people where everybody remains celibate. A Christian community, as I recall, and I'm taking this off the top of my head, but as I recall, there was a group in America called the Shakers who didn't believe in marriage. They had Christian communities, kind of like communes, in which they lived separate from the world and had a communal existence, and they had religious observances, and they had the men lived here and the women lived there, and they all had their own tasks in society, and they made furniture. We still value chairs and other rocking chairs and other pieces of furniture that were made by Shakers years ago. This is very valuable material, valuable antiques in our day. But you don't find many Shakers around today. I don't know if there are any, frankly, but there may be some somewhere, but you don't find many Shakers around today. I wonder why. They had no way to propagate. No way to reproduce. Not honorably. If they did, it was a scandalous affront. It was a scandalous departure from what they taught and what they believed and what all of them agreed upon. They forbade marriage. Nobody got married. That was carnal. That was sinful, to get married and to have a sexual relationship with your spouse and therefore to produce children. What an abominable teaching. I'm sorry, but what an abominable teaching. It's contrary to the Bible. It is so totally contrary to the Bible. Where would anyone ever get an idea like that? Not from the Bible. Well, but they had a scripture here or there that they used, and of course, when people depart from the Christian faith, they almost always have some scripture that they say is the basis of their unscriptural belief. You can snatch a text here and twist a text there and distort a text here and take a text out of context there and teach almost anything from the Bible. But the question is this an honest, honorable representation of what the Bible actually teaches, or is this a serious distortion? And in the case of forbidding to marry, it's obviously a serious distortion. And if we didn't have any other scripture except this one right here, we would know that. Here's Paul detailing the reality of apostasy, of departure from the faith. And after describing it in general terms, he gives two examples of it. And the very first one is forbidding to marry. So if you find any so-called Christian organization that has a marriage prohibition in their doctrine, you know that this is apostasy. This is contrary to the Bible. Obviously so. They have just provided Exhibit A for the apostasy that Paul's describing in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible is not opposed to marriage. The Bible encourages marriage. The Bible expects marriage. The Bible does tell us that there will be some exceptions to marriage, that God really does call some people to singleness, but that's the exception, not the norm. And there's nothing more spiritual about being single than being married, unless, of course, God has given you the gift of celibacy and called upon you to be single, and you violate that and try to get married. It'll never work. You'll never have a successful marriage, and you will have violated God's will for your life. But those are rare exceptions. There is a particular gift of celibacy, and what that is the ability to remain single and to be as happy and fulfilled in a single state as married people are in a married state. But the Bible is crystal clear that the normal, expected condition for most Christians is marriage. The writer of Hebrews said marriage is honorable in all. That is, in everything, every aspect of marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. And the marriage bed undefiled. He particularly goes to the sexual relationship in marriage, which seems to be the controversial point in this kind of thinking that forbids marriage. It's usually the sexual relationship in marriage that is considered to be dishonorable. Well, the Bible says the opposite. Marriage is honorable in every aspect of it, and the marriage bed undefiled, particularly the sexual relationship, is not dishonorable. It is honorable in the sight of God. But the verse goes on to say, fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Marriage, sex, is good. Sex outside of marriage is bad. That's dishonorable. That's sinful. Fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Adulterers, of course, are married people who violate their marriage vows by having a sexual relationship with someone else who is not their spouse. That is adultery. Fornication is any kind of sexual practice which is sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. That would include single people who have sex. That's becoming more and more common among Christian young people today, in churches today, as we just seem to have more and more departure from the truth, more and more apostasy settling into the church, more and more deviation from the clear teaching of God's Word. But the Bible is very clear about this. Premarital sex is a sin, and God will judge those who engage in it, whether they think they can justify it or not. God says you can't. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I'm talking to some who are in an adulterous relationship or a fornication relationship, because it's not within marriage. It's a relationship outside of marriage. You're involved in one of those right now. You are a Christian, or you call yourself one, and you may be a true Christian, you may not. I don't know. And you have a hard time being sure right now if you're engaged in a practice that the Bible clearly says is wrong, and in some passages tells us that those who commit such things will not go to heaven. Those who practice such things, let me be more clear, those who practice such things will not go to heaven. Not those who ever commit it. True Christians who commit adultery or fornication, and Christians do that. I'm not trying to paint a picture to say that a true Christian will never do such a thing. True Christians fall into that kind of sin. But if they're truly born again, they will be convicted by the Spirit of God. They will be torn up because of it. They will have to break it off. They will confess it. They will acknowledge it as sin, and they will forsake it if they're true Christians. But people who are practicing it and defending it, justifying it, brazenly declaring that it's all right, that there's nothing wrong with it, their status as a Christian is very much brought into question. They sound more like apostates, departing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They've swallowed some teaching that is contrary to the Bible in regard to sexual morality, and now they're speaking lies and hypocrisy, defending their immoral actions, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. That's what's going on. Perfect example of what Paul is talking about here. A person who is continuing in an adulterous or fornicating relationship and will not acknowledge it as wrong and will not accept what the Bible teaches and will not agree with what I'm pointing out to you right now is marking yourself out as an apostate. You're in a very dangerous position. Are you truly saved? Doubtful. If you are, this message will be used by God to prick your conscience and to show you your sin and to bring you to repentance. But if you continue on brazenly in this kind of sin, you are only manifesting that your profession of faith is a false one, and you are no born-again child of God. You are an apostate. You said you believed, but you never have truly believed. You've never really embraced Christ in a heart faith, a justifying faith, a saving faith. And now your distortion of Scripture and your propagation of lies in order to defend your sinful lifestyle is the evidence that you are no true child of God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.